and welcome to my show, Nutrition for Health, Perfect Weight and Wellbeing on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. I'm Dora Walsh, and I've been working in the field of natural and functional medicine for 14 years. I'm a qualified nutritionist and nutritional therapist, and I support my clients to overcome their chronic health concerns like hormonal imbalance, digestive problems, chronic fatigue, autoimmune conditions, skin concerns, and more. You can find out more about me on my website, NutriHeal.net, and also follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Well, this week, we're going to be talking about using nutrigenomics within personalized nutrition. Nutrigenomics is the scientific study of the interaction of nutrition and genes, especially regarding the prevention and treatment of disease. And personalized nutrition uses the individual characteristics of the person to develop targeted advice to assist them in achieving a lasting dietary change in behavior that is beneficial for their health. This week, we're talking with Anne Pemberton. She is the author of Nutrigenomics Within Personalized Nutrition by Singing Dragon. Anne's career spans 25 years of cardiothoracic intensive care nursing. She was blessed with a son, later diagnosed with autism, but her son's diagnosis totally changed her career trajectory as she looked for natural therapies to support him and found herself in a process of discovery. Anne retrained in psychology, then later in functional medicine, and she combines functional medicine with the five levels of healing model in a busy international clinic. Anne is also a published author and an established international speaker. Since 2008, Anne has been teaching academic and clinical modules on nutritional therapy courses. She ran the MSc in Nutritional Science and Practice course at the Northern College of Acupuncture in York, UK from 2010 to 2017. And she's a regular contributor to iCan magazine. Welcome to the show, Anne. It's great to have you here this week.
Oh, thank you, Dora. And thank you for that lovely introduction. And it's an absolute pleasure to speak to you today.
You're very famous in the nutritional world. I've known about you for a long time, and I was so happy to receive your book, Using Nutrigenomics Within Personalized Nutrition, Singing Dragon. We're going to be talking about nutrigenomics. I've very briefly touched on that and talked about how, you know, we can understand people's individual characteristics to tailor their diet. It goes much deeper than that. But before we go on to talking about what people can take away from this book, tell us a bit about your story.
Okay, so in addition to having my son, I was doing all the wrong things. Like yourself, I'm here teaching people how to care for themselves, how to get their body into a healing state, but I was doing none of that. I was working 17 hours a day. At the same time, I was running the course in York. I still had my own clinic, and I worked for an eminent doctor in York who worked with, well, Dr. Damien Downing and Dr. Patricia Kane. And they were instrumental in me becoming interested in nutrigenomics because I was trying to sort my own health out and looking from the perspective of the biochemistry, not realizing my environment was the problem. And Patricia just came in one day and she said, oh, my family are all doing the 23andMe, you should do it, right? So I just went off and did it. And then I got my results back and a friend of mine did it at the same time, at the same college. And we sat there for ages going, I've got MTHFR. Have you got COMT? I've got COMT. You know, the kind of things that we were doing back in 2011. And then what started to happen was we got interested and we both did Ben Lynch's course. And then people started coming through who had been seeing practitioners. None of us had this in-depth knowledge then at all. And practitioners were giving methylfolate because Ben Lynch was the MTHFR king at that time. And so some of these patients were ending up really psychotic. And so I got really interested in the dopamine pathway. And then in 2017, I had a near-death experience with mold-induced pneumonia and mast cell activation. And what happened then was Patricia Kane and Dr. Damien Downing saved my life. But then I didn't get well. So I started to look at the gene, my genes particularly, in even more depth. And then the friend that we did the 23andMe with, we started to look at, do you know what, if we have this much of an issue with this, learning it, putting it together, trying to create programs for patients, then all of the practitioners are going to have the same issue. And not that I particularly thought I was that bright. So what we did was we set up a training program called Gene Snippers. And for about 3 or 4 years, we trained practitioners. And the idea was, we learned more about the biochemistry from having these little junctions in the pathways called SNPs that really helped us to see how the pathways works. And so that was the main aim of it. But after 2017, when I couldn't get well, I disbanded Gene Snippers because I just couldn't give the energy to it anymore. And then there was all this massive knowledge that Angela and I had put together. And at that same time, I had to give my notice at Northern College because I couldn't do that job either. And at that point, that's when Singing Dragon approached me for a book. They approached anyone in the academic team to produce a book, and I gave them some ideas. I wanted to write a book on autism because that's my focus, of course. But there's so many books on autism out there, you've got to have something really different. And so they asked for nutrigenomics, and that's how it came into being, really. So that's kind of the work from 2011 up to now.
Singing Dragon, your publisher, must have realized this is a really big issue going forward that touches so many people. You were a health practitioner yourself, and you realized that you needed to look at your genes and how they played out as well as the other levels. So obviously, they realized you were the expert in that area. Just before we go on to talking about your book, Using the Nutrigenomics Within Personalized Nutrition, I'm going to mention your website so that if anybody's interested in your work, which is very transformational, they can find out more about you. It's venturoushearts.com. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes, Dawn.
And also the book they can get from the Singing Dragon website. Can they also get that from Amazon or any other?
I believe it's in every Amazon outlet now.
Fantastic. And if people want to follow you on Facebook, I know they can find you on there, Anne Pemberton. And you're also on Instagram, and it's Venturous Hearts on Instagram. I've seen that one too. So yeah. Let's talk about the book. The book is really well structured. It explains things really well. Let's talk a bit about your inspiration for writing the book. I know you were unwell and you were approached as well, and you took time to do it. But can you tell us a bit more about your inspiration to write the book?
I think my own experience when I first started dealing with nutrigenomics was very much, you know, it was very SNP treating, as we call it lovingly. It was very much about, you've got this SNP, take this vitamin, which is really what the pathways look like. And you know, there can be the propensity towards that, and kind of, I wouldn't say a lack of understanding, but limited understanding about the biochemistry. And so when I started to put the book together, I think Singing Dragon and I had different ideas about what we wanted. So it took quite a bit of ironing out, but that was a massive learning curve for me, because I think because I taught at master's level, I didn't quite have the skills to bring that down to a practitioner's level who's perhaps in the early part of the BSc or even diploma. So, you know, I had to kind of look at, well, how do I do that? And the way to do it in my eyes was, I don't actually like being the center of attention, and I don't actually like being the gene queen. But when I'm on stage, there's something different, and I can tell a story. And I think, you know, people do well with stories. So and I'm not scared to stand on stage and say, well, I did this and this happened to the patient and it wasn't great. If I'd have done that, it would have been better. I'm really not afraid to say that, because I think we have to be authentic as well if you want people to listen. So it was about, okay, I can write a really boring book that's got all the pathways in, and this gene does this, and it needs this to support it, etc. But I think to bring a book to life, it needs a case. And that particular case, she had SNPs in every pathway. She was such a sick cookie, as you can see if you've read the book. And with her permission, obviously the name's been changed, it was really beautiful to be able to come at the end of each section, which is usually a pathway or a cycle within methylation mostly, and then just look at that and say, okay, did this work out? And if it didn't, what could we have done differently? Which is why there's two case studies in the dopamine pathway, because this case just went through fairly okay, and dopamine can be a real sticky wicket. So I brought in the other case study, which was totally different and a different way to kind of heal that pathway, as it were. So it is all about, for me, it's all about bringing a case in. It's all about self-reflection. You know, how did I do this right? Or, you know, how could this have gone a different way, if that makes sense?
Yeah, totally. Now, you talk about the cases in the book. You've got a couple of cases in there, and you go into great depth. I think in section 28, you have somebody called Ella, and you talk about her throughout the book. For our listeners that maybe don't understand nutrigenomics so well, but want to know how they can help themselves, maybe could you give us a bit of a snapshot of that case, what you found out about Ella through the genetic testing and the biochemical testing, putting that helping her to achieve a transformation so that our listeners can understand how that could potentially support them in the future if they went down this road.
Okay. Yeah. So Ella is a very complex case. She had a condition called gastroparesis, which means the gut doesn't really work. It can't break down food. It's very stagnant. You kind of eat food and it just sits there for numerous hours. The body feels heavy and tired and sluggish. And she was very chronic fatiguing. The whole timeline history was not the best because she'd had some adverse childhood events, which we know from Kaiser Permanente can really set up your biochemistry for lifelong health issues. So she was one of those people. And I started to do, and she wasn't eating very much either. I think she was eating rice and peas for about 2 years before I saw. And so she came to me. We didn't do the genetic work initially. We tried to really get her to understand food, the function of food, because I think there was also some of this, as there often is with anorexic type people, there's a bit of control. There's a core shame, for want of a better description. And we have to help people to kind of love themselves, if that's the right terminology. And so we did a lot of work around that with her, not hugely successful. So, and she was keen to know more. She was very kind of biochemistry led. So what we did was we did the genes, and we found quite a lot going on in her dopamine pathway. Not only did she not have the digestion to break down the protein into amino acids to create the substrates for dopamine, she also had a condition called pyrenuria, which means she was very B6, zinc, manganese, biotin deficient, which again underpins methylation. And so we had to get those nutrients back in here to get her dopamine up, so she could be motivated to do stuff, to get stomach acid levels up so she could digest and absorb, and then to support all of that from the nutrition perspective. But then there was a lot of, as we started to work with that and we got some semblance of stability with her, she then started to have things like flashbacks to her early life experiences. At the first instance, I didn't honestly understand they were flashbacks, because I haven't gone into great depth with the psychology. I can do basic stuff, but I didn't spend a lot of my years doing that, as much as I love it. So it meant I had to find someone who could help her, but she'd done loads of things like psychotherapy over the years. She really didn't want to go back there. And I knew about these chiropractors who did a really specialist program called network spinal analysis, which basically all chiropractics clears the spine of stuff that we carry. Basically, the people going to the five levels of healing model, the Chinese, Tibetan, Ayurvedic people, they say we hold all our emotions in our body field. And of course, people like Gabor Mate, Bessel van der Kolk, they all talk about this, which is why I got into the five levels of healing model as well. So I started to look at her from that model. And then I recommended that she went to work with a network spinal guy, because they do a lot of somatic work as well, which means connecting to the body through the breath and through the awareness. So, for example, if we want them to work with their heart energy, we would get them to bring their hands over the heart, palm on top of palm, and breathe into that area. And if there's trauma there, it'll come out, but you won't be re-traumatized because it's the emotion that's coming out. And we just had such amazing success with that, that our stress levels started to come down. And you and I both know, Dara, you can have the best diet in the world, but if there's so much stress that the person is in primal brain, then nothing's really going to have that effect. So with her, she's probably one of the best case studies I've ever done, you know, for all that learning to occur. And I think this is where, you know, when I first said I would write the book, it was very important for me to put those two models in the back, because I think, you know, we have the genes, and yes, they can help us enormously. And especially with her dopamine pathway genes, absolutely crucial. Then we've got the other side of this is, and the other side is the genes are not our destiny. We have these polymorphisms that are supposed to help us each generation. There may be a change each generation, there may not be, but it depends on our environment. And it's meant to help us to survive our environment. So, for example, if we had an ice age starting tomorrow, some of us would survive because we'd have the genes to survive, because we've maybe come from Alaska before, you know, in past lives or however you want to describe it. We've got some inheritance there. But the vast majority of us would probably go because we don't have that genetic structure. And so that tells us that this is all changeable. And so with her, it was just lovely to kind of learn all that and learn how the environment affects the genes. But also people like Bruce Lipton, Joe Dispenza, they all say we can change our gene expression by the thoughts in our head, which explains why psychotherapy and those kind of things can work. But I think it's all the five levels. It's the energetic, which is your emotions. It's the physical, which is what we do. It's the intuitive, you know, how do I know this and why? And then there's a spiritual level as well, which, you know, we can't tell anybody to do spiritual practice, but I don't think it's about sitting on a pranayama cushion every day, going out into nature or, you know, those things. Just being in the moment is enough spiritual practice for most people. Just sitting there with the mind empty is just enough, as long as you get enough in it, you know. So it isn't about kind of that, but it is about self-awareness. So she taught me all of that, really. I had to go to the five levels of healing to heal myself, and she taught me the same thing. So, you know, when you get it twice, you kind of listen, don't you?
Definitely. We learn so much from our clients. And it sounds like with nutrigenomics and all the other five levels of healing that you mentioned, you went so deep into her case, and you went so deep into yourself. And it's almost like as you were healing yourself, you are supporting her healing as well. And it was sort of like a journey that you went on together.
Absolutely, Dora. And I must admit, you know, when I kept getting the editor's feedback, it was almost like I had to heal on a few of those pages. And sometimes I would be so kind of healing my own stuff, because we've all got it, haven't we?
It's,
you know, not to scare people, but we all have our conditioning. And, you know, the feedback would come back, and then I'd just put it to one side for 2 months, and then the editor would say to me, have I got any feedback yet? Have you had a look at it? And it'd be like, I don't want to, you know? Yeah. So it was, honestly, it's been the best learning experience for me. Really has. And the best growing experience. I can't fault it for that. But yeah, it was.
We're going to be talking a lot more about your book and your learning and the results and what people can take away from using the nutrigenomics within personalized nutrition by Singing Dragon and Anne Pemberton after a few messages from our commercial partners.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on my weekly show, Nutrition for Health, Perfect Weight and Wellbeing, on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. I'm talking with Anne Pemberton, the author of Using Nutrigenomics Within Personalized Nutrition by Singing Dragon Publishing. You can also find her on her website, venturousheart.com, and on Facebook and LinkedIn. So, Anne, you were talking, I found it so interesting what you were saying, the genes helping us enormously, but they're not everything. And then you went on to talk a bit about 5 levels of healing, which we'll talk about towards a bit later in the show. But can we give our listeners a bit of hope? Because I know there's a lot of fear around genetic testing these days, and some people are getting themselves testing and they're worried when they get the results because they think, oh, I'm going to get this, I'm going to get that, I'm going to get Alzheimer's, could I get breast cancer, etc. And therefore, what would you say to them from your experience as a nutritional therapist, as somebody that has worked for a long time in genetic testing and nutrigenomics?
That's a really interesting question, Dora. Thank you. And it's one I answer nearly every day without fail. I think, you know, we've had this misconception from the only education we had on genes previously, and that, you know, a lot of disease processes, conditions have all been put down to genetics when we couldn't find an answer, or when there was an obvious thing, let's say cystic fibrosis, for example. And those conditions are very different to the conditions that we're dealing with every day. So what can happen is the education, without being disrespectful, because I love our NHS and I love the doctors within it. I work with some superb ones. So I don't want to kind of feel like I'm denigrating anyone here, but their understanding is still in that paradigm. You've got a gene, it's a problem. And in some cases, they're measuring, for example, MTHFR, especially in the autism community. And so these parents are ringing me and saying, my kid's got MTHFR and it's the cause of his autism and this, that and the other. And the first thing I say to them is, just take a deep breath, because I'm just going to give you a different perspective on that. And then I'll say to them, you know, there's about 400 genes in this pathway. And yes, the MTHFR makes one transition. It's a catalyst to create one chemical from another, i.e. methylfolate, which is the driver of methylation. But there's another 5 or 6 genes in that pathway, even before you get to that one, and they could be okay, you know, depending how great or small the amount of changes within that gene. And it's not the gene, it's actually the enzyme. So you can have a gene snip and the enzyme can still be working perfectly. And so it's not your destiny. And I also say to them, you know, the genes express usually because there's something like a gut imbalance, which is causing a level of toxicity within the body that right now at this point in time is not being addressed because you're not aware of it. You know, so like maybe a yeast overgrowth, maybe clostridia, because that interferes with dopamine. And so I just give them those pointers and I say, what I can do for you is I can have a look at your genes. And if you're prepared to do a urine organic acid test so that we can see gene expression for these pathways, I can present that to you so that you're not afraid of it. Because at the end of the day, if we can adapt your environment to make it cleaner, so that, you know, the genes are not expressing into the enzyme, then, you know, it isn't really any more than we ever did before for people. It's just that we have a much deeper understanding of it, and so therefore we can get there quicker.
So it all comes down to not just focusing on the gene, but combining that gene analysis with looking at the biochemistry of the body, and you're using organic acid, which is a urine test, which is looking at how those genes are expressing throughout the pathways. And you're seeing whether are those genes turned on or off. If they are, how can that person be supported in terms of their environment, their nutrition, their emotions, so that the gene doesn't express? Is that right?
That's absolutely right, yeah.
So does it just come down to then, you know, so that therefore, obviously, that puts people's mind at rest. So in the old case with people that you've worked with, and then obviously you've got a couple of case studies in the book, you've been able to switch that off and they felt better, their trajectory improved?
Absolutely, yeah. I think I'm at the stage now with people where the people that are coming to me are really wanting to understand why they are sick. And so I try to give them all those kind of levels, as it were, give them the health from every perspective. And it depends kind of, well, what is the major, doesn't it? You know, it can be, you know, toxins in your environment, it can be toxic emotions, or it can be it's a biochemical problem causing all of the others. So, you know, as I'm sure you do, Dora, it's getting into that real nooks of what's got the biggest impact here to work with. But yeah, how else can I say it? I'm not sure really.
I bet you. I mean, do people know what they're getting into when they come to you, Anne? Because sometimes I find, as a nutritional therapist, people, when I first qualified many years ago, about 15 years ago now, people would just come to me for the usual thing, like, oh, I want to lose a bit of weight. And then it would be much deeper than that. There'd be many reasons why the person was overweight. And it wasn't about calorie counting. We'd go on all different levels, the spiritual level, the nutritional level, the emotional level, the beliefs, the trauma. And they kind of didn't know what they were getting into when they first came to me, because they just see us as, you know, nutritionists, and not realizing that we're going on a very deep level to understand the root cause.
Yeah, my trajectory has been exactly the same as yours, Dora. And that's why I changed my website to the Venturous Hearts website, because what I've done on there is I've started to put a collection of ebooks together, which are free to download. What I'm hoping to do is to end up with 10 of them at the end, which so each system I will look at from all the five levels of healing. I think I've got, what have I got up there now? I've got heart and lung and digestion. And the digestion really gets a lot of hits. But then I sidetracked into autism because Simon asked me to do something for ICAM, which I think is going to be really important for my journey. So I'm not going to do lots of diagnoses, conditions. I am going to do systems. My next one will be hormones. And then what I say to people when they ring me, I say, look, I work from the five levels of healing model incorporated into my functional medicine matrix, which is how I'm trained. But if you want to see exactly how I work and you want to understand it more before you make a decision, then I do like a 20-minute chat with them. And I say to them, this book could probably be the best one to read. So I tell them to read the introductory one, which is called How We Get Our Conditioning and How That Makes Us Sick. So that's kind of introducing the five levels of healing and, you know, talking about conditioning. And then the others are obviously systems. So if I get someone who comes for hormones, I'll say, well, when the hormone book's up there, I'll say, read the hormones. But for most of them, I'll say the digestive one is the HPA axis and how our stress, our conditioning affects our digestion. Because I always find, and I'm sure you get this as well, I find people who feel that they've continually got candida overgrowth, and they'll come to me and we'll test and it won't be there. And we all know the ifs and ands of candida, but it's like people have got fixated on this. So every time they get something going on in the gut, they think it's that because they fear it. And then as soon as we establish that it's not that, then we can go into those deeper levels and say, you know, have a look at the book, see what's happening there. This is what's happening that's pertinent to you. And I think people really appreciate that, which is how the books came into being, to be honest.
Yeah, last night I looked on your website. I spent ages researching you, Anna. I downloaded some of the free books on there, and especially the autism one, which I was very interested in. So I definitely encourage anybody listening today to go on the website, venturoushearts.com, to see all of that information. Because it's a good starting point on a healing journey that works on all levels. We're going to be talking a lot more about the relevance of the models in the final chapter of your book, which is chapter 8, called Insightful Models of Further Exploration, because you're talking about Klinghart's five levels of healing after a few messages from our commercial partners.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory, E bar gold.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on UK Health Radio on my show, Nutrition for Health, Perfect Weight and Wellbeing. This week, we're speaking with Anne Pemberton. She's the author of Using Nutrigenomics Within Personalized Nutrition, Personalized Nutrition and Lifestyle Medicine Health Practitioner Series. From Singing Dragon Publishers. And you can find out more about her on her website, Venturous Hearts. You can also follow her on Facebook and find her on LinkedIn as well. Now, Anne, it's great having you on the show. You touched upon the five levels of healing, and it's in chapter 8 of your book. And I'd love us to dig in a bit deeper into this because it goes beyond just the nutrigenomics, which is so important. To look at the genes, to look at how we can tailor the nutrition to the genes. And what about the five levels of healing that we were touching upon earlier? Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, this is obviously Klinghart's work. I have a lot of respect for Dr. Dietrich Klinghart, who's a German physician who does see things on a deeper level. So what he ascertained from his own experience was we have five bodies, hypothetically speaking, that's probably the easiest way to describe it. And so what he says is the five bodies are the physical body, which is what we feed with food and nutrition. It's the body, it's the body that we can use body work on. So things like chiropractics, those kind of therapies can work wonderfully on that. And obviously it's the foundation for everything, because if we don't have a good diet, then, you know, we're just going to ail. The next level that Dietrich looks at is the energetic level. He talks quite a lot about EMFs, electromagnetic frequencies, being a big problem for this level because the electromagnetic frequencies can interfere with the normal function of the body. I see it more emotional, and the reason I see it that way is because my experience took me through a college that predominantly taught acupuncture. So I learned a lot from them as well about how when we have never felt safe to express emotions in childhood, for example, what we do is we suppress them in the body, and certain emotions are assigned to certain organs. So, for example, anger, frustration, it's all liver gallbladder. It's why we call bilia. I'm not even sure if it was Shakespeare who said that, but it was one of the big guys. Heart is obviously love and fear because they're polar opposites. And so all organs have this mechanism. And the way I see it is if your emotions are suppressed, then you're stopping the energy flowing without realizing in that area of the body. So the blood flow can't get there as well as it could before. And therefore, the blood carries nutrients. So the nutrients are not going to get there in the same capacity. So we can take a million supplements. We can have the best diet in the world. But if the energetic body's not working, then, you know, how much efficacy are we getting from whatever program we're following? And Eileen McCusick brought this to our attention. She talks about tuning the human biofield. So she does work with biofield tuning, which basically is using a tuning fork, and you get the fork vibrating and then you take it across the body And where there's a trauma in the body or off body, it doesn't matter, because some people say our energetic body goes out by about 12 feet. So she showed us all of that and brought it all into the physics. And again, physics is not an area that really comes up prominent in healing. So that's the energetic body. And that's what I find is the body that's missing in most people when I do my analysis. Then we've got the mental body. The mental body is how we see ourselves in the world, what our own state of mental well-being is telling ourselves. Ross Rosenberg talks quite a lot about this in terms of when we've been in relationships that have not suited us and we've stayed there and we build this core shame. But he reckons it comes from childhood, from things like attachment trauma. And we live in a world where very often both parents work. So that's kind of easy to see how that manifests without it ever having been intentional. So that we have to look at that as well. Then we look at the intuitive body, and the intuitive body is all about, sometimes we just know something. It's almost like we've done it a million times, but we've never actually been taught it. And sometimes we go into a room and we know instantly a person in that room that we do not need to go near, because without putting too fine a point on it, their energy is not right. And we know that intuitively. And we don't know why. So we need to tap into that. And the way I use the intuitive level is to try and get people more intuitive about what they're eating. Ask their body, what do you need right now? You know, go into the kitchen to make a meal and say, okay, what kind of meal would be right for me right now? And just ask the body, because the network spinal guys teach us that the body has its own innate wisdom. It's just that we're all inside our heads instead of in our hearts. And when we can come out, and this is where heart math came in for me as well, when we can come out of our heads and into our hearts, we can really listen to what the body's telling us. Because every symptom is a message. Every emotion is a message. And as soon as we see the body like that, we can then start to love it again, which is part of my focus. So that's the intuitive level. And then the spiritual level, I see that as personal awareness. So it might be things like meditating. It might be things like going out in nature. It might be listening to music and dancing around. Because the one thing that always sticks in my mind, you know, when we were teenagers, you and I, I was in nursing. We worked long hours for peanuts, but we always got free entry into the nightclubs because people loved nurses because they were giving to the community. And so, you know, we got drinks paid all night. We can get drunk. But those were the happiest times, and you can look at those and you can say, well, you didn't have the trappings of Western society. You didn't have children, and you know, and you hadn't lost yourself by then in all those Western trappings as they are. And you can say, and you know, you were young. But actually, if we went back to that now and if we looked how we were historically, we used to live in tribes, and at the end of a day that was pretty intense, we'd all sit around a campfire telling stories and playing drums and flutes, you know? And so when we look at that, I kind of see the spiritual side as coming back to the self, understanding who the self is. And I think for some of us, this is how we have these problems at menopause. You know, so many women, bless their hearts, they get to menopause, they're older, the parents have passed on, so they're not having to look after them anymore. Their children have come of age where they're leaving. And suddenly they go, who am I? And I think something happens there that I think is right, really prominent for this kind of work. So they're how I see the models. They're a bit different to how Dietrich Klinkhart saw them, but then he trained us maybe 15 years ago in this. So I think you take your own slant on it, don't you?
Yeah, you intuitively take your own slant on things and work around how it works for you and connecting to your client in the way that's going to get them the results. So there's you mentioned the physical body, the energetic body, the mental body, the intuitive body, the spiritual body. My question is, for somebody that's so sick and so removed from the body, as some people are, they're very much in their head or maybe not, just not very conscious, and there's no judgment there. How on earth would you start to work on these levels when people like are maybe confined to a bed and seriously ill?
Okay, well, from the nutrition perspective, it would be soups and stews. It would be very Chinese, nurturing things, kitchery, things that they can manage to get down, however small, to get the body nurturing going. And I would immediately get them in front of someone who is either a network spinal practitioner or someone who does biofield tuning. And I would get someone to start and work on the body field. And I would just coach them through that bit because I've done that myself for my own healing. And so I know the kind of, I know the pattern. I know what patterns can come up and I can coach with that, even if we can't do any food at the beginning. And I'll just keep them on the simplest of foods that will give them the maximum amount of nutritional diversity and try and get the microbiome as diverse as we can. And just work with the gut-brain axis. So it might be adrenal and thyroid support, because I tend to have a four-phase plan. So my phase one would be to shore up the hormones and the neurotransmitters and to support the digestion. And that gives us what I would term as metabolic reserve, because someone in bed is just not going to do anything unless you shore the body up. The second phase would be to look at them maybe 3 months later and say, okay, can we now do a gut restoration program? Can we get rid of any bugs that we see in there, parasites, etc.? And can we heal the gut? Will the body tolerate that now? And so that would be my phase two. My phase three would be to look at, is there any heavy metals, chemical toxicity, anything else that's interfering with the mix? And now we haven't got the bugs that are going to feed on the metals as we pull them out. How can we do that safely? You know, because we can look at far infrared saunas, we can look at salts baths, that kind of thing. I try not to give masses of supplements because bodies like that won't take a lot of supplements. And then my fourth phase would be, are there any viruses or retroviruses hanging around now that are keeping this person ill? And in amongst all of that, it would be coaching at each stage. So, okay, this is happening. I also check all of mine for pyrenuria because I nearly always find it. And sometimes I think I'm going mad. But I find that even if you don't want to name that, because I'm very reluctant to give labels to people as well, because sometimes they've got enough labels to sink a ship. So I'll maybe not say this is pyroluria, but I might say, do you know, you could do with some B6 and zinc, and let's face it, most people do need that. And just that can make a massive difference if we can get it down, you know, and if we can get the body to cope with it. So I just go really gently with these people. And then if they've got help, wonderful. You know, if they've got someone who can make them the soups, because that's the other thing. You know, how do they manage it when they're laid on a settee all day and then they need to sleep 16 hours to even get a bit of energy to get them going on a morning? So I might say things like, you know, a soup maker would be great for you, and a slow cooker, so that you can just make one meal of khichdi and just get a couple of tablespoons every few hours so that you have got something on the stove all the time. I mean, obviously you can't leave that days and days, but you know, there were days in my lifetime where my mum made a stew on a Monday, was still eating it on a Thursday because she was still adding stuff to it. So I grew up with that kind of background. So I've kind of pull in those kind of skills and say, look, what can we do? Because at the end of the day, these people are sometimes so emaciated, but also they are so tired. So it's got to be easy.
Yeah, it sounds like you're kind of shoring them up. You're supporting them on a physical level to then go through all of those stages that you mentioned. And then not doing it all straight away, the digestion, then the gut restoration, then looking at, is there any toxicity, any heavy metals, any retroviruses? Do they have any of these genetic conditions like pyroluria, etc.? And then working through those levels before I then guess moving on to the spiritual aspects. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, some of them, when they come to me, they've already got some kind of spiritual practice going. What I find more often than anything, Dora, is it's the energetic level that's missing, because they just don't realize what their emotions do to them.
They're stuck in a cycle.
Yeah, absolutely stuck in a cycle. Yeah. Their own perception of who they are in the world. And then, yeah, so it's kind of, it's getting people also, this is probably an easier way to say it. We're taught not to love ourselves. We're taught it's quite narcissistic to care about yourself, to love yourself. And then as women particularly, you know, we have so many demands on our time and we work now as well. So we don't ever have time for ourselves. So when someone tells you, okay, we need to practice self-compassion and self-love, people think that's really narcissistic to do that, so they won't do it. Whereas when they're on a bed or on a settee all day, and suddenly you say to them, you know, this condition that you have, these are the emotions behind it. So let me just give you an example, actually, because it'd be easier from my little repertoire of things. Let me just find chronic fatigue, because that's a good one. So, fatigue. It says stress and resistance, struggle, limitation, fighting to get things done, overworking and pushing yourself beyond your limits, bored and frustrated with your life and drained by your commitments. So when you read that to somebody, you can kind of say to them, so what set you off on this spiral of being everything to everyone? And it's usually something that happened in childhood. It's usually a parent who had depression. So the child had to be that good child. And so they grew into this, always pleasing that parent to make that parent happy. That then transitioned into school. So they always had to be the A-star student. That went on to university and they always had to have the class one honours. And then it goes into later life. And when they see that pattern, you know, they can look at that and say, well, I can't blame anyone because they have their own traumas. And most people are like that. No one blames anybody else because how can we? This is society. But it's really lovely to help someone to understand this is how I got my conditioning and this is what's making me sick. Because then they can turn that around and they can say, right, I need compassion for myself first, because I need to forgive myself for running myself into the ground, which is one of the things I had to do. And I love working with people like that because you get such transitions with them.
Yeah, you're getting them to wake up and understand, you know, the origin of the condition that they're experiencing now. And often that's in the past and about their beliefs about themselves, their emotions, how they feel, and not loving themselves, as you say. It goes very deep.
It certainly does. Absolutely, it does, yeah.
Anne, it's been so great to speak to you. I could actually listen to you all day, but we've come to the end of our show. And for anybody that is interested in the work of Anne Pemberton, they can go to her website, Venturous Hearts, and also definitely read her book. She's looking at nutrigenomics. It's called Nutrigenomics Within Personalized Nutrition by Singing Dragon. And she's got some amazing case studies in there. And then she does also talk about the five levels of healing, which is a very deep way of looking at things. And we've only touched the surface today. So you'll definitely have to come back in the future, Anne.
Oh, thank you, Dora. That's really sweet of you. It's been an absolute pleasure. I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you. So for everyone listening today, I hope you've enjoyed this show as much as I've enjoyed presenting the show. And look out for our next show next week. Until then, goodbye.